Well,
all right, yeah. Hey, it's like $1, but it's not. It's not. There's the gospel behind that dollar, everyone that you all give, and it's not. Then it becomes something different, everybody. It becomes blessed. It becomes prayed for. It becomes the gospel not in here but out there in the community, and that's what we're called to do, and I'm so grateful that we have a church who gets that and that we get to see God as we distribute this generosity because we're so grateful for what God has given us that we want to bless others and help others in the name of Jesus. So thank you for giving to that, and if you want to find out more information about the Dollar Club, and if you're new or visiting and want to know more, go to the website, riverridge.tv, and you can find out more about our Dollar Club initiative there, and just, man, you can get going with us on that. We just ask $1 a month, and it's amazing what God has done with that. Amen, everybody? It's amazing to be a blessing to others, and that's just what we're called to do. Hey, before we get to the message really quick, welcome to the 945 service for the first time, right? Now, here's a couple, one thing is, like, we knew before we even did this that this was going to be the most popular service, and it will continue to be. And so what I want to ask right now is for those of you who are here River Ridgers and that you've come here and you're not serving in the first service or the third service, because you might be here because you served in the first, you're coming to the second, or you're serving in the third, so you're coming to the second. But if that's not you and you would say River Ridge Church is your home, I want to invite you to think about as a family, think about either attending the 8:15 or the 11:30 because we're going to constantly need to be making room for new folks in this service. This will be the most attractive service for folks to come to. So if you're one of those folks that would be a tremendous way to serve this church, like to not come to the 9:45, come to 8:15 or 11:30. It really would. So just think about that. And we will be talking about that ad nauseum over the course of these three services until, again, God blesses us with a property, land, building, et cetera, et cetera. And so anyways, if you could do that, that would be awesome. And then you want to hear me talk about it in the front of the messages every Sunday. All right? Okay. If you're new or visiting, welcome. We're so glad you're here, and we want to make more room for you. We're glad that you're here. It's awesome to see a full house already. But if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those, get those out. Open them up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. And again, if you are new or visiting, we are in week number 3 of a series that we're calling Spiritual Fruit, where we're looking at this list of characteristics from Galatians 5. It's called the fruit of the Spirit that should mark the character and attitude of a Christian. But what we've learned is that people kind of tend to look at this list as almost like a checklist of things that you can say either you got it or you don't. But that's not really the point of this, but it's more like it should be a description. All these things together should be a description of who we should be looking like more and more as we allow the Holy Spirit in us to be working and changing us as we follow Jesus and we live out our yes to Him. So far we've looked at love and joy. Today we're going to look at third one. We're going to look at peace. All right. So let's look at what 2 Thessalonians 3 says about it. We're going to pick this up in verse 16. And it says this. It says, now, and if you have your outlines, I have the verse up there for you. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. But how many of us would say that from time to time, or maybe more times than you wish, that you find yourselves in a place that messes with peace? Right? Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's like a tension that you have at work or with people or even people who you love, and or something happens where like anxiety pops up or you get worked up and then all of a sudden peace isn't as present in your life. I think that's a lot of us. The other day, I had a conversation with a young man who was having high anxiety about school. And we were talking about it. He couldn't stop thinking about his grades. And he's a straight-A student. And isn't that something? It's always the straight-A students that worry about their grades. They're the ones who shouldn't be worrying about their grades. But he was worried, and he was so anxious about his grades, because if he couldn't get good enough grades, then he wouldn't get a good enough scholarship. And he couldn't get in the good enough school. And then he wouldn't get the degree he wanted to get the job that he wanted. And then it would affect his ability to provide for his family and to get things for his kids. And would his kids be okay? And he was having trouble sleeping. And I looked at him right in the eyes and I said, Henry, you're 11 years old and it's summer. Why are you worrying about it? That's my son. And I exaggerate a little bit about it, but it's true that he literally worries about that. And he gets so worked up. But don't we too, everybody? We get so worked up and before we know it, the peace we know we should have gets hijacked by, listen, the craziest things, right? from the things that pop up to a single thought. It gets us bothered, and then peace feels more distant than it does close. But here's what I want to say today, man. This is what I want you to hear. God does not want you to be like that. In fact, if you're here and you walk away with anything today, here's what I want you to know about God. God wants you to have peace. He wants to give you peace. Not only just peace, but peace that permeates your past, present, and future, and a peace that can last through everything that life can give you. Here's what he wants for you. He doesn't want you to live disconnected from peace. He wants to give it to you so that you can live your life not full of stress, worry, and anxiety, but full of wholeness and completeness. And the good news is, this is why we're talking about this series, why I love it, because here's what is true. Even when you find peace is distant in your life, if you are here and a follower of Jesus and a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit that keeps the peace in us and keeps it present in our lives and working no matter what the situation, no matter what is going on. So what we're gonna look at today is we're just gonna look at how do we stay anchored in that peace that we have, and how can we get deeper? So we're just gonna look at how we can get deeper into the peace that God wants us to be living out. So I wanna go back. What we're gonna do is go back to 2 Thessalonians. We're gonna read it again and start here, because Paul gives us two important truths that sometimes I think we get away from about peace. So let's read it again. He says, all right, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way, the Lord be with you all. So if you have your notes, go ahead and get those out here. I wanna talk about two really big truths about peace. Here's the first one, if you want to write this down. The first big truth that we need to know is that God is peace. God is peace. So the first thing that we need to get a handle on and to understand about with peace and God is this, is that, listen everybody, we are dealing with a God who doesn't just have peace. No. He is peace, and that's different. He is, Paul calls him the Lord of peace. That's not just a nice nickname, it's a title. Like, it's who he is. So it's not God who has peace, no, it's God who is peace. I think peace is one of those words that we normalize, right? We use it all the time, right? And I think that it's become normalized and it's been made too common in our vernacular because you just hear it all over the place, right? You hear people say it like, you know, peace and quiet, peace of mind. I've got a peaceful, easy feeling. That's an Eagle song. They're using stuff to find, I wouldn't call that peace. They use stuff to get there, I'm just saying, right? You hear people say this all the time. I'm at peace with it. Here's a translation of that. I gave up arguing, so now I'm going to act like I'm okay, right? If somebody in your family says I'm at peace with it, they might not be. I'm just saying, you might want to check on them. Right here, people say, well, I'm just trying to keep the peace. Here's a translation. I'm the only sane person in this family, and I guess it's my job to make sure you don't fight. You hear that at Thanksgiving a lot, right? It's like, I'm just trying to keep peace, right? You get a ticket for disturbing the peace. If that's the case, my kids are repeat offenders, everybody. You know what I'm saying? My point is that we use this word so much. And what I'm trying to say is I think we've lost the essence of what peace really is. And gang, listen, that's the whole key to this today. The key, because here's the big idea for us. See, when we think that peace comes when everything finally calms down around us, we are not gonna find it. But when we realize that peace doesn't come from things being calm, but from the one who calms things, being connected to him, see, that's the difference. It's being connected to the one who can calm it. So when you look at peace from its origination, let's just do that. Let's look at where peace even came from. So we're gonna go all the way back in human history to the beginning of time when it started in human history. It comes from this word, shalom, shalom. And shalom has a really deep meaning, and one of the best places I've ever found it is by a guy by the name of Cornelius Plantaga in his book, The Breviary of Sin. Here's what he says about peace. He says, in the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight, a rich state of affairs in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts fruitfully employed, a state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as a creator and savior opens doors and speaks welcome to the creatures in whom he delights. Shalom, in other words, is the way things are supposed to be. I love that. Amen. Shalom is the way it's supposed to be. Shalom was actually a greeting with God's people from the beginning, even in the Old Testament, New Testament, and it actually meant to greet someone with rest, tranquility, wholeness, and completeness. And shalom, here's the thing. Shalom is the way things existed at the beginning of creation. So in the Garden of Eden, before sin entered the world, humanity lived in perfect shalom with God. So think about this. There was no stress, no chaos. There was just unity with God. There was peace with each other, harmony with all creation. And so when we talk about peace, this is what we got to understand. We're not talking about some passive thing. We're not talking about some weak-worded deal. We're talking about the original state of creation, that peace was God's design from the very beginning. But see, when sin entered in, when sin came in, then peace became broken the way that God made it to be. Peace was broken between us and him. And here's the truth. This is the truth about every single person here, and it's also true of every person who's ever existed in humanity, whether you believe it or not, this is still true. The truth about all humanity is we all feel that separation from peace, everybody. Some of us admit to knowing it, some of us are trying to deny it, but it's true. We're all looking, whether you recognize this or not, we're all looking to want peace back into our lives because listen, it's hardwired in us by God, the God of peace, the God of shalom. So all this to say is if we really want true peace, if we want true peace in our lives, it has to start with God. It doesn't start with a person. It doesn't start with a feeling, not a romance, not a relationship. It doesn't come with a vacation we're planning. Peace is not found in a place. It's found in the person of God because God is peace. Here's a second truth that we tend to get away from too, is that God gives peace. God gives peace. So Paul says, looking back again, it says, may the Lord of peace give you peace. And so again, what this means for us is this means that this is what we get away from sometimes. See, peace isn't something you achieve, it's something you receive. It's not, so and what that means is we don't work for it. We can't get it ourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. And here's the other thing, it's not just a one-time gift, but it's a daily gift. It's a daily gift. Look at what he says. It says, may the Lord of peace give you peace when? At all times. And in every way. And so what this means about God's peace is God's peace, it's not just this inner peace. Yes and amen that it is. But it's also something that's situational, it's relational, it causes and applies to what's going on in us every way, every day. And so what that means for us is that with God who is peace, there is no situation too far. There is no part of your life too messy for God to bring peace into. Isn't that good news, everybody? Amen. Sometimes we wait to feel peace. I hear that a lot too. I'm just waiting to feel peace about the situation. And God's saying, no, no, no. You don't have to wait to feel peace. Just walk in the peace I already gave you. Because you have it in you. I want you to walk in it with you. That's part of what the Holy Spirit does. That's what he does in you. He keeps the peace. And this is what we need to understand. No matter what's going on in every situation in the middle of the chaos around you. Okay, so all this to say is this. Christian peace is all of this working together to bring in this sense of shalom, this wholeness, this completeness in our lives. And here's the deal. As Christians, see, God gave us an ability to be able to live our lives in a way with peace where we can receive it, right? Where it's given to us and we can be internalized with it in a way where it can permeate our lives. And the fact, this is why this is such good news, everybody. See, the fact why we covered this, why the fact that God is peace and that God is the one who gives peace, it's good news. It's good news because that means that we are not the catalyst of peace, that we are not even the creators of peace. And so what that means is we don't even have to worry about making peace. We just have to be connected to the God who is peace. Making sense so far? We got to be connected to him and he wants to give it to you, all right? So if you're in your Bibles, let's jump. We're going to jump to Philippians chapter 4. Jump to Philippians 4. So we covered, you know, what peace is, where peace comes from, but we still did not answer this question. What do we do when we feel like peace isn't there like we wish it was? What do we do when peace isn't as present? How do we stay in that shalom? Or better way to say it, how do we get back on the path of peace if we're finding it difficult? Okay, so we're gonna go to Philippians 4. Paul's gonna help us here a little bit. And what he's gonna give us here is a pathway to reclaim the peace in our lives. And it's two things. So let's find the first one here, Philippians 4. And we're gonna read in verse 6. Here's what he says. He says, do not be anxious about anything, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, there it is, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we got two big ideas about the pathway to reclaiming peace. The first one, if you write this down, is simple. It's the easiest one. It's prayer. It's prayer. This is why we talk about prayer all the time. Right? There's not a semester that goes by where we don't talk about or even have a series on praying. We actually got one coming up in September. We're going to be talking about prayer in our series called Praying For over 5 weeks. So we're going to get deeper into what prayer is, what it can do in the life of a believer. But listen, we talk about praying all the time because of all things that God has given us, there's nothing more important and nothing that can connect us better than praying. It's like the communication system. It's like the CB system that God gave us to be connected with him. And it's one of the biggest ways to allow God to work in our lives. You know, I know for me, I don't know about you, but like when I read something like this, there's never a time where I can't be encouraged about praying in my life. Anybody with me on that? Like, if you ever found me and said, Andy, are you nailing prayer? I would never say, yep. Like, I would never do that. And I just want to let you know, because I think praying is one of those things that we could, at least for me, I don't want to speak into your life, but like if anybody ever wants to give me an encouragement or a thought on praying, I'm in. Like, I want to hear it. I want to know. I could always know that I could connect better with my Heavenly Father, okay? And because I could always use an encouraging word, not to see that I'm praying, but listen, how I'm praying. And that's the bigger thing how am I praying? Because I don't know about you. Again, I tend to go to things, if I'm not being in check with this, I get real selfish in my prayers. I get real light in my prayers. I don't know about you. So I need encouragement. I need help sometimes with praying. And what's good here is that Paul here gives us four steps, and we're really looking at praying for peace in this. There's a lot of different ways that we pray. But in here, Paul gives us four steps in praying for peace. And if you're in your Bibles, you can underline them. I would encourage you to do that. Four things. Here it is. It's prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, request. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, request. So let's look at each one of these. I'll break them down a little bit. The first one, he starts by saying that we do everything in prayer, right? So prayer is the discipline. That's the discipline by which peace comes into our lives. So here's the thing, everybody. Listen, if you want to combat anxiety, you want to combat worry in your life, pray. He's just saying it's as simple as that. Get praying. And why peace is associated and attached to prayer is because here's really what prayer is in its essence, especially praying for peace like this with God. See, prayer isn't about God informing God of my need. It's actually about relying on God in it. Does that make sense? Like we're not shocking God by saying, God, I didn't know if you know I need this or not. He's like, oh, really? No. No, man, it's more about, man, I want to trust you in this need. I'm going to trust you in this, and that's what it's about. So prayer is the discipline. Second one is supplication. If you don't know what supplication is, that's the type of prayer. So if you want to write down besides supplication, supplication is this. It is humbly asking God. That's what supplication is. And the key word here is humility, right? It's humbly asking God, but it's humility is the key. So it's this. It's this, God. Here it is. God, I know who you are, and so therefore I know who I am. And I know who I'm addressing, and here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. Paul is saying, listen, you're gonna need help. Ask God and ask him humbly. It's this supplication of like, I'm humbly coming here, God. And then I'm gonna do the last two together. He says, with thanksgiving, make your request. And so in these requests of God, there's different postures that people use with prayer. And sometimes we don't even think about the posture we use, but we definitely use, I think we use one of these three most of the time. But I'm just gonna share them with you. A lot of people pray in prayer supplication. A lot of people pray with anxiety. And it's this, here's what it is. God, please do this. Like, I'm begging you. Oh, you know what the other one is? Like, if you do this, then I won't, right? I won't make a deal, God. I'll never do that again. You know, make that happen, right? It's like, but listen, those are anxious prayers. Those are anxious prayers. People also, this is the second way, they pray with demands. So it's not, God, please do this. Here's what it is. God, you better do this. People do that. You better do this. So I'm praying for this, God, because you should give me what I want right now in my life. I know what's better, and you better do this, God. Unfortunately, I got to speak against this one because there's a lot of churches that preach this. They preach this like, hey, man, if you believe it into being, you speak it into being, God will have it happen. And if he doesn't have it happen, it's because you don't have enough faith. Listen, the only problem with that is everything. That's not what praying to God is about. I'm just telling you, that's not how he works. But you know why? You know why he doesn't work that way? Because listen, God is not a genie in a bottle who serves us. He is the creator of the universe and we serve him. Come on, somebody. And so that is not the way that we come to God and say, you better do this, God. Like, I'm only, like, you know what I mean? And then if it is true like that, then what do you learn? Like, is it that my faith's not big enough? Is that what it is? And unfortunately, people say that. It's just not true. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Here's the third posture, praying with thanksgiving. And Paul's saying, let me submit that that's the way that we do it. And here's what this means. It means that there is a thankfulness before there's a response. There is this gratefulness to God before anything even happens. It's this, God, everything's a gift from you. There's nothing that I have received that's not from you. I'm not entitled to anything. See, that prayer with demands, that's an entitlement prayer. But see, prayer of thanksgiving is saying, I'm not entitled to anything, God. And I ask this with thanks because I trust you no matter what. And the real difference in this posture, I don't know if you noticed it, but I want you to see that. The real difference in this is that it's thanksgiving that is attached to the request and not the outcome. And I think we get that mixed up a lot, gang. I think some of us hold on to that thanks until we get what we want. We hold on to that thanks, but God's like, no, you got that mixed up. And for us, I think that's where we don't want to get it backwards. Paul says, no, it's thanks in the midst of this request, thanks in the middle of this chaos, thanks for what you're doing right now in my life. Because I don't know about you, sometimes for me, and I'm just going to, you know, listen, I'm just like you. I want stuff to happen in my life. Like, and a lot of times, some are selfish, but not bad. Does that make sense? Like, there's things where I'm like, God, just... Dude, a lot of times it's for my kids, right? And I'm like, please just don't let them suffer like me, right? Like, I know how much I suffered in this life. Don't let that, you know? But here's the thing. For me, sometimes I think what we need more than the results of our prayers is just the peace to know that God is working in it. Does that make sense? I think we just need to know, God, are you working in it? And listen, he'll tell you. You'll know that he's working in it. And I think sometimes we need that peace that is attached to just knowing he's working. So we pray for everything. That's what Paul says. We pray for everything. And here's what he's saying, everybody. Don't miss this. He's saying, if you do it this way, if you come like this, that we pray with supplication and thanksgiving, make our request, then he says, peace will replace your worry. Peace will replace that anxiety. God will guard your heart and he'll guard your mind. All right, let's read on and find the second one. Verse 8, it says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. So here's the second decision we make to get back into the pathway of peace is that we've got to practice things that bring peace. Right? So we pray and then we need to practice things that bring peace. So Paul says, dwell on these things that are good. Dwell on these things that are of God. And he's saying, make that your rhythm. Dwell on these good things of God. And this is simple, but everybody, I'm here to tell you, he knows what's more natural for us to do, which is not to look at the positive, but we look at the negative. Come on, somebody, what do we do? Our natural tendency is to look at what's wrong and dwell on not what's true, but what's false. I don't know if that's the case for you, but I'm just going to be honest. That's the case for me. Like, I mean, here's the deal. For instance, if someone cuts me off in traffic, I don't immediately think, well, they just weren't paying attention. Thanks, God. No. I'm like, you did it on purpose. You don't like me, and I'm going to have it out with you, right? Like, I'm like, and I want to give them the thumbs up. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, I don't know. I mean, is it me or is it not natural to just be like what Paul's asking here? A lot more times, man, it's more natural for me to be angry. It's a lot more natural for me to feel hosed by that guy. This is easier to do than you think. I mean, listen, how easy is it to find things to be frustrated by, upset about? Pretty easy. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, if that's what we do, if that's all you have, all you're going to end up with is a list of things that are wrong in the world. Or you could dwell on what's true and what's honorable and what's right and lovely. And then all of a sudden, what you'll find yourself is in a rhythm of thinking things about God, because that's who God is, everybody. And when you get your mind on that thing, at the end of each day, what you're gonna find is things to celebrate. What you're gonna find are things to be thankful for. And here's what Paul's saying. It's your choice. You can do either one. I'm just telling you, I know what the better one is. Which one do you want? And then Paul gives us the most encouraging thing here. I love this. He gives us this encouraging word. He says, if you want this peace, practice these things. That's so encouraging. And why it's so encouraging is because, listen, one is if he's saying that we need to practice it, it's that we're all in the same boat. Like, nobody is like nailing this. And the other good news of this is it also means we could get better at it. I love how encouraging that is. We can get better at it. We just got to practice. And so when peace is distant, When anxiety is knocking, when worry is coming, here's what we do. We put into practice thinking about what is true and honorable and right and just and lovely, and we become in sync with the God of peace. And to know, again, just to know that Paul, you know, the apostle, the writer of most of the New Testament, says this to us, it just makes me think he didn't automatically get there. And I don't know, it just kind of helps me. It's encouraging. So there has to be a practice of trusting the Lord. And so we train our minds to dwell on those things. And here's the big key in this. We got to find ways to keep us doing that. We got to find ways to do this more, because again, at least for me, like, it's not as natural as I wish it was. So I have to put myself in better spots intentionally. So it's why I'm in a home group, because once a week we get together and we're like, all right, let's think about the things of God, because I know I might not have been all week, right? Like, we get there. It's why I'm in a prayer group. It's why I meet with a friend. Once I meet with a guy every Friday. We get together and talk about it, and we have one single goal every Friday morning, and it's to put our minds on what is true. We talk about all kinds of stuff going on in our lives, but man, we end up going, what is true in our lives? What is true? Who's God in our lives? And so we remember with peace, here it is. Listen, this peace is real. And this peace that we have, it transcends. It's a peace that God wants to give us. It's not just a feeling. It's this deep rooted of awareness of shalom in us. And it's what God wants to speak into you today, that everything is going to be made right in the end. It's the peace that comes that transcends everything. And it's something that Jesus talked about all the time. He talked about it all the time. Here's what he said in John 14 about peace. He said this. He goes, hey, peace I leave with you. My peace, here it is again, it ain't the same as anything else you're going to find. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives it do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Gang, listen to me. I hope you understand. I want you to, he said this hours before he died on the cross, hours. And so what I mean by that is he knew his time was limited. And he knew his words were very important, and he chose to talk about peace to these guys. And he chose to do that because here's the thing. Jesus knew that the peace he was about to die for is massively different than anything else we're going to find in this world. Because Jesus's number one priority coming down here was to restore shalom with you and God. To restore the peace, bring back the peace by dying on the cross, and so that you could be forgiven of your sins, so you could be made eternally right with your Creator, so you could have peace that permeates your past and your present and your future, so you could experience this wholeness through what Jesus did for you. And listen, everybody, it's a peace that is offered to everybody. There's nobody excluded from this peace that's available, and it's a peace that will last, it's a peace that will change us, and it's the real miracle that Jesus brought when he came down here. And I know for so many of us here, you have that peace. And I want to encourage that peace in you. I want you to dig deeper with that anchor that is in you because of the Holy Spirit. And I also know that for some of you here, maybe you're here and you're trying to figure out how God works in your life. You know, I know, because we make this place, that's why we're here, man. We make this place available for you to come in and find out more about God. But maybe you're here because you're trying to find answers in your life and you want to know more about what Christianity is. And maybe you've seen how God is working in your friend's life or your coworker's life or your neighbor. And you've come here because you want to know if God can help you, like you've seen how their faith is helping them. And if that's you, I'm going to tell you to do something really weird. I want to challenge you to not do that. I know that sounds weird, but I want to invite you to do something better. All right, let's go back. I want to go back to verse 8 because Paul is encouraging you to do something better as well. If you're trying to really figure out answers, because here's what he's encouraging you to do. So notice what he says about finding peace. He doesn't say whatever can help you. Hey, whatever helps you feel better, whatever benefits you, think about that, and then that will bring you peace. No, no, no. Here's what he's saying. He's saying whatever is true. Whatever is true, that's where you go. Put your mind on that. Think about that. So here's what I want to challenge you to do if you're here and that's what you're trying to figure out. I want to challenge you to do this. Don't begin with, can Christianity help me? Begin with, is Christianity true? Because if it is, like if there really is a God of the universe who made you, who loves you, and there really is a kingdom that exists beyond this earth, and there really is a force of good, and there really is a counterforce of evil that exists, but that we have a God who we can believe in, who is trustworthy, who is all good, who is infinite, and who is other than human, who came to the world. He came to this earth to die on a cross, and he was raised back to life, to defeat the effects of what is evil in this world, which is sin, but that sin is in us. And he died for us to be forgiven of that. If all of that is true, then that can give you something the world can't give you, yes? Amen. I mean, can it not? And it can give you the peace that transcends understanding. And there are so many of us in here today because we have that peace that transcends all understanding. So here's the deal. If all of that is true, I don't think it's just worth seeing if God can help you. I think it's worth surrendering your life to. That's what I think. Because when you root yourself in what is true, you'll find peace. That's what Paul's saying. This is exactly what Paul is saying, because that the real path to peace is finding the answer to this one question: what is true? And I'm telling you, if this is true, then you'll find the answer to peace. And here's the thing, if this is not true, then don't, because you won't find peace there. You won't find peace there. And so maybe you're here and this hit you, this became true to you. That the light turned on about Jesus. Like, I heard about Jesus, I knew what he came to do, but I didn't realize that's how peace comes in my life. That's what I've been looking for my whole life. And it just happened that it just hit you that this is true. So here's what I want you to do. Here's the first step that you need to take to find God's peace and receive God's peace. It's through acknowledging your sin and seeing that without forgiveness, you can't find peace. You will be eternally separated from God and his goodness. And that's where you don't want to be separated from that. But by believing in Jesus, see, by believing in him, you can be made right. It's a step of surrender. It's a step of acknowledgement. That's how it happens. It's a decision. It's a decision to follow Jesus and make him Lord of your life. And so what I want to do right now this morning, I want to pray for us. I want to pray for us. If all of us can, I know some of you don't pray, but if all of us could bow our heads and close our eyes, I want to just give some of you a moment here. I want to pray for all this prayer team. You can come forward. And I just want to give us a second to pray. God, we come and we acknowledge you in this moment. You are peace. You want to give us peace. You want to sustain the peace that comes in our life, but we can only have it. We can only have this peace through finding that you are true, that you are right. You're honorable. You are trustworthy. So many of us right now are in that truth, and I pray over us that we could be more anchored deeper into this truth, deeper in this reality of the peace that we have. Thank you that we've received your peace through Jesus and what he did for us on the cross when he died for our sin to be forgiven, and we can enter into your peace. And it's a daily thing of accepting this and remembering and believing in Jesus and knowing that changes us here and forever. And so right now I want to ask that some of you, as we're praying, some of you right now, that you've never received this gift of forgiveness. You've never received this peace because you've never actually made a decision to make Jesus the Savior of your life and the Lord of your life. And if you want to do that, if you're ready to make peace with God, the only way you could do it is through accepting the reality of your sin and what Jesus came to do for you. And if you're ready to accept that truth, all I want to do is I just want to guide you in a prayer. If you want to turn your life over to him, is surrendering. It's just saying, God, I'm going to let you take over. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer to mark this moment for you. And you could just pray. You could pray out loud. It's okay. You could pray in your seat. You could pray in quiet. I just know the Holy Spirit is already working for those of you who he is saving. So I'm just going to help you mark this moment. You could pray this prayer. You could pray, God, I know you are true. And my truth is I can't find peace without you. I need help because of my sin. I have sin that breaks the peace. But now I understand and I receive and accept your gift of forgiveness and eternal life through what Jesus did for me by dying on the cross. I surrender to you. Forgive me. Make me new. Let peace come rushing into my life. In Jesus' name. And now, God, I pray for all of us to allow your peace to touch us in a way where we're experiencing the faith that you want us to have. I pray that we're challenged today. I pray we're encouraged today. Jesus, thank you for making a way for peace to come into our lives. And I pray for us to go out there with a great message of the gospel that you've given us. We love you and we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, if you pray that prayer of salvation, hey, one thing is, if you need prayer, we would love to pray for you. Come forward next couple minutes. But if you pray that prayer of salvation, come to the prayer team and just tell them, hey, I prayed the prayer of salvation. They would just love to know. They're not going to get your social security number or nothing. Like, they just would love to know. And we would love to get you the next step, because this is the first step. So just come find somebody. Come find one of us. Tell us that you prayed that prayer. We love you. And we'll see you next Sunday at 8:15. See you next Sunday.